Hey there, before the show starts, I just wanted to mention that I'm raising some money for the Colon Cancer Alliance in honor of my mother, who died of colorectal cancer. You may recall that she was a guest on Random Trek, and I'll have a link to the show that she was on in the show notes. The Colon Cancer Alliance is having a 5K, and I am raising funds and running the 5K. So if you enjoy the podcast and you could spare a couple dollars, please donate to my run fund. The link will be in the show notes. Now enjoy the show. Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast in which I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My guest tonight is another repeat guest. I'm always happy to have repeat guests, Clint Eckert. Clint, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thanks. I'm happy to be back.
I'm excited. And you got, before I let you tell people about yourself, you got one of the rare gems in the Random Trek lineup.
Oh, man.
An original series episode.
Yeah.
Third season original series episode, so may not be so good, but we'll get to that. But before we jump into that, Clint, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
I'm a software developer. I work at a company called PayPal now. Back when I was on before, I worked for a company called Modest, who was then acquired by PayPal. So I'm not doing that, and also before I was in Chicago, and now I'm in New York. So
lots of changes.
Yeah. Still tweeting. So, like, I think the last time I re-listened my previous episode because I love it. I don't know if that's weird. I remember last time you asked me what I was probably well known for, and I was just like, I guess I tweet. I don't
know. You continue tweeting. To tweet.
Yeah, I persist in tweeting. Yeah.
Now, I think you might be notable for your fashion sense as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah, maybe. I tend to wear a lot of crazy clothes and shoes. I like been buying probably too many shoes lately. But
what are your favorite kind of shoes?
I like Adidas makes a new line maybe for the past year or two, maybe three, called the NMDs, and they have kind of like, if you've ever had like a Nike Flyknit, it's got a kind of a Flyknit sort of breathable mesh and nice comfy soles.
Oh, those
and
sound
lots
good.
Of cool colors, interesting colors and stuff.
I am a fan of colors. We were talking before we started recording, and Steve Jobs came up. I am, from shoes at least, I am Steve Jobsian in that I only wear one kind of shoe. And I think actually Steve Jobs wore the same kind of shoe. New Balance.
Yeah, it was a New Balance, right?
Yeah, I wear New Balance, I think, 994s or something like that.
Okay,
yeah. I love them. I have several different pairs. The thing that I spend a lot of my money on is Hawaiian shirts. So I counted the other day, I have 71 Hawaiian shirts.
Holy crap.
Might be too many, but
it is a lot. Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about both of our fashion choices. although we could talk, The Lights of Zatar, which is the episode we're going to talk about, which is season 3, episode 18. It's not notable for too many wacky fashions, but it's always interesting to see what they made the women wear, which are generally short dresses.
I read something online that they were using, like on Memory Alpha, they were using like the velvet uniforms or something. I didn't know. It was like they were using the different uniforms than they would have normally used in this episode. But yeah, the women's outfits in these are over the top.
Yes. So what are your thoughts about the original series? Now, when you were on last, we talked about a Voyager episode.
Yeah,
and now we're talking about an original series episode.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned on the last episode, but I probably said that the original series is my least favorite. And I know maybe that's uncommon. I don't know, but I don't know. It's just something. I mentioned this a little bit before we were talking, before we started recording, I had to watch it twice because I tend to like my folk. Like maybe I'm just getting more and more like addicted to my phone, and you know I can't focus on anything, but. I just have so much trouble like paying attention to the whole episode. I keep, you know, I turn like it just as it gets boring to me, and I'm like, oh, what's this tweet that just came through here? And then I was like, oh crap, I just didn't watch the last minute or two of the show, and so I you know either have to rewind it back or this time I just watched it again. So I don't know, something about them. I don't know if it's the pacing or maybe we said that they're longer. I don't know, something about them. Maybe it's just our generation needs that shorter content.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, so I think they're probably maybe around 50, 51 minutes, whereas other Star Treks, of modern Star Treks, let's say, are about 44 minutes or so.
Yeah, see, that. It doesn't seem like that much different, but for some reason, it just seems to like drag on for me. But
I think the problem is how they choose to use those extra 6 minutes.
This one was had a couple of those. I felt there was a lot of really on the nose kind of stuff with this one. Like at the beginning, well, maybe we should set it up.
Yeah, but, well, we should. Yeah, but there are a lot of, so it's a 50-year-old TV show, right? So, sometimes when I watch the original series, it feels like I could be watching a modern show that someone made just the other day. This episode certainly felt like it was a 50-year-old TV show for one very specific reason.
Right. The quote-unquote relationship between, I forgot her name. What was the?
Lieutenant Mira something.
Yes. And her, I guess,
Romaine.
Relationship. Yeah. Relationship with Scotty.
Yes. So that was highly inappropriate. And also the way they treated her. They constantly, and this, I was watching it with my wife, and she, as we were watching it, further and further, we got into it, the madder and madder she got, because they would always refer to her. Now, she's a lieutenant. She has a rank. She is a grown woman. She's a professional. This is her first mission. And everyone referred to her as the girl.
Yeah. Yes. It was ridiculous. I mean, and just the way, the way that just Scott was like, he would be like, hey, basically being kind of like a creepy kind of dude. I mean, I guess we don't get a lot of what's been going on with this woman. She's on the start. She's on the Enterprise because I guess they're ferrying her. Her first mission is on Memory Alpha, the real Memory Alpha.
Yes, we should talk about that too.
Yeah, and I guess they're just going there to drop her off because she's got some stuff to do
at Memory Alpha. The things you do on Memory Alpha. We don't really find out too much about
Lieutenant
Romaine
we do find
or
out,
Memory
they,
Alpha.
Yeah, they kind of like, they're like, oh, the only, you know, all the universe or the Federation's knowledge is stored here, and there's no shields or something like that that comes up.
And Captain Kirk is like, what? That's a bad idea.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. We're going to put all the world's information in one spot and have no protections whatsoever.
It did remind me. So I work at a university, and for a long time, universities thought, hey, information wants to be free. We need to be open and scholarly, so we're not going to have any protections on our network because people should just be able to, you know, do whatever they want, man.
Yeah.
And as of the last few years, it's become apparent that that's – while, yes, information should be open and free, our networks should not. So it kind of rang true to me that someone would say, hey, man, this is like the Universal Library. It should not have anything blocking people from approaching it.
Yeah. And we find kind of later on, I don't want to spoil this, but we'll talk about it later. But it's just, I think, in another in a long line of InfoSec failures in the Star Trek universe.
You brought
that up before.
Yeah, security is not good. Backups,
security,
apparently. Nobody does any backups.
Apparently, this is the only copy of all this information.
This is the most important information that they have, and nobody thought, maybe we should have two copies. Right. Just one. But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
And the shocking conclusion.
It kind of opens up on... Did it open up on Scotty and Lieutenant Mira?
Scotty being a little lecherous.
Yeah, in engineering, I think, and she's basically like, so is everything cool? And he's being kind of weird, and it almost even seems like she's just kind of like brushing him off and not really interested. Maybe to me, maybe that's not how they intended it.
I felt like she was kind of playing coy, but in a playful way. Mm-hmm. Although I did think it was highly inappropriate.
Yes,
because it just seems from Scotty's point of view, it seems. It's unclear
if she's a superior officer, right?
Yeah, exactly. So my note that I wrote was Scotty needs sexual harassment training.
Yes.
Because it's not so good, Scotty.
He's going to be in some big trouble.
Yes. And then it's so weird because Captain Kirk, you know, we have this weird interaction with Scotty and Mira, and it's clear he's into her. Is she into him? We don't know. Then we go to Captain Kirk, and Captain Kirk's like entering a log about Scotty and how lonely he is.
It's like when a man of Scotty's age or whatever like that falls in love with a woman, it's like, and you're like, what? And the weird camera angles with
that was a very strange camera angle too, like from swooping up from the top. Yeah.
Yeah. Looking straight down on the top of Kirk's head and then kind of zooming and then over. It was very weird.
It was weird. It was very dramatic for a moment that probably shouldn't have been dramatic. I don't understand. Yeah, but yeah. So yeah, Kirk's like basically, sheesh, Scotty's so old. He finally met somebody he likes, and that really has highlighted to him how lonely he has been. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
Jeez. And then is it Sulu? And it's not Chekhov, is it?
Oh, man, they're the worst, too.
Yeah, and they make the weird comments about her, like, where I didn't... Now, first, I didn't get the comment about where I think Scotty or Sulu says, I didn't think Scotty was into the brainy types or something like that. And the other guy's like, I don't even think he's noticed her brains yet.
Yeah, God. I think Chekhov says, I didn't think he was into the brainy types.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. Because Scotty is smart. Why wouldn't he want a smart lady friend? Yeah. And then Chekhov's like, I don't think he's noticed her. She even has a brain. And I was like, whoa. Yeah.
Just way out of line. I just kept finding these moments in this episode.
And they're both the bigger. I mean, that's a problem. Even more problematic. They're both standing on the bridge as they're hearing
right there,
Sulu and Chekhov talk about them.
But I also found that when they kind of panned over to them standing there on the bridge, Scotty was basically like holding it. It was like a box with like one switch on it, like one or two switches on the top, like just a giant box, maybe the size of a cigar box, and it had like just nothing but two switches on the top. And he's like basically like explaining to her, you know, whatever this thing is, and flipping the switch.
This is how you flip a switch.
It's very weird.
Yeah, this whole relationship is very strange. And I've had seen this episode before, but I forgot how it ended, so I just assumed she was gonna die, and I was like, oh well, too bad for Scotty. Spoiler alert, she does not die. Although I can only assume at the end, they just leave her on this planetoid that has a bunch of corpses in it. Because they never...
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they...
I guess at the end we'll get to that too, but Spock has his little weird mama, or they ask Spock, like, if she's going to be all right, and he's like, oh, I think she's actually stronger. Or maybe that was the doc said that. So maybe she's strong enough now to go live on a planet of corpses in a giant library.
Maybe they'll send some more people for her. I don't know. But it's very strange. Anyway, so this whole episode is very strange. But so they are going to Memory Alpha, which is, of course, without Memory Alpha, which is a wiki on the interwebs that has a tremendous amount of information about Star Trek. I don't think Random Trek would be possible. And it is, of course, named after, very appropriately, this planetoid in this episode. And another fun fact about this episode, Sherry Lewis, who is best known as the ventriloquist behind Lamb Chop, co-wrote it, I think, with her husband. So that's
She's apparently a huge Star Trek fan.
And she was like, I want to write one of them Star Trek episodes.
Yeah,
and so she did.
She also said, it also said that she had wanted to play Lieutenant Mira, but they didn't pick her.
I think they should have picked her. Yeah. I mean, not that there was anything wrong with Lieutenant Mira. The actress who played her was very good at what she was doing. But having Sherry Lewis there would have been fun. Probably distracting. I'm sure that's what the producers probably thought.
I assume she wouldn't do the Lamb Chop voice.
I did say to Marisa, oh, look, this was written by Sherry Lewis, and you should look out for the Lamb Chop cameo that's coming up. And she, for a second, believed me. And then I said, no, there's no Lamb Chop cameo.
That might have improved the episode.
It may have been if Lamb Chop was just like had been killed by the Zetans in Memory Alpha, just laying on the table. Maybe a little
sure,
sad.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she's there. She's like, hey, what up, Scotty? I guess I like you. Throughout the course of the episode, I think it becomes clear that she does, in fact, like Scotty. But his way of handling it never really becomes non-creepy.
He's laying it on pretty thick.
Very, very thick.
Right.
It's kind of like they just met, and now he's like totally in love with her. And she's like, well, you know, you're smart and attractive. I like you, but let's not go too fast.
We got to get dinner.
Exactly. She's like, calm down, Scotty. Still trying to figure out what this box does that you were showing me.
And then I was wondering about this episode. The aliens show up. They're like, yo, there's a space storm. It's coming right our way.
I do love space storms in the original series. They're always space storms.
And then it's quickly decided that it's not natural because it's going too fast. It's moving faster than the speed of light, which is nothing natural can go faster than the speed of light, apparently.
That's right. Captain Kirk says that. I think Captain Kirk says that very definitively.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, then it's not it's not natural then. Okay.
And we're like, okay, but it's fine.
The graphics on this, is this one of the like remastered or were those original? I watched it on Hulu.
I'm going to guess you probably saw the remastered one because the lights probably look pretty good.
I felt that they were probably far beyond the possibility of stuff in the late 60s.
Yes. So I'm going to guess you did watch the remastered one, which is the right choice.
Yes.
Because the remastered ones, I mean, you don't like the original series, so you probably haven't watched a lot of the remastered ones. Mm-hmm. But what they did, they cleaned up all the film stock, so it looks beautiful in HD. But then they redid all the special effects in kind of the spirit of the original. So if when they were filming it in the 60s, they had this technology, this is kind of, you know, the sense. It has the same sense and sensibility of the original series. So it looks really great.
I liked it because it looked definitely like something that I didn't think they'd be able to do at that time, but it definitely didn't seem like out of style, I guess. So I felt it fit in really well. So it was kind of confused. I was like, was that from the original? So I think they did a good job on it.
Well, kudos to the unnamed digital artists that helped with that.
Intern somewhere in
probably. Paramount. Yeah, so the space storm is a bunch of, I don't even know how to describe it, just like scintillating sparkles. Lights, sparkly things that like envelop the Enterprise. everybody, it apparently, well, we don't know this, but apparently it interacts with the humans' brains and different parts of the brain. So some people can't talk while it's kind of hanging out on the ship.
And the shields don't do anything.
Yep, shields are useless.
Because it's not a real thing. I don't know. And so it basically goes into the ship and you have... Did the like lights change and stuff or something? They did something that kind of like the aliens were there, and then everyone like Kirk tried to scream, and then was like, no voice comes out.
Nothing.
So it's kind of scary. And then his voice comes back, and everyone's kind of like, oh god. And she collapses.
She does collapse. And then there's another interesting kind of shot.
Oh, the long zoom.
Yes, the very very long zoom into her eye.
Right. Zoom from like a normal, like normally framed shot. Like you just keep zooming and zoom because basically this alien's just come in the ship, and I think they were just trying to make sure we knew that the alien did something.
Yes,
to her somehow. So they do this super long zoom directly into her iris of her eye.
Yes,
and then it's replaced with the same sparkly graphics that we saw in the screen.
And then you think something's up, and then
something
she collapses.
Something's going on, and then she collapses. Yeah.
And now that's when she collapses, but then while she's collapsing, Dr. McCoy actually shows up very quickly. Kirk says, you know, plot a course, tell me where the storm is going. And oh no,
it's going directly for Memory Alpha.
It's like, I have to check out a book.
And so, there's like no way to catch it or something. Like there's no way to get there. And weirdly enough, they can't communicate with Memory Alpha.
That's right. Communications are down for some reason. And this is where we find out that it has no shields. And Kirk is like, that's dumb. And that's Spock stupid, is like, whatever.
They're like, oh, it needs to be open and everything. So they just decided that we don't need shields. Because then someone could put up the shields, and then people wouldn't be able to come and get the knowledge or something.
Exactly, it doesn't make any sense. And then so Romaine gets whisked away to sick bay, where she's not quite happy about it. And she's like,
I'm fine, leave me alone.
And I don't know, she was like when she started, she didn't have a lot of lines. It was mostly her getting hit on by Scotty. So
yeah.
It was hard to tell if her character changed, but she seemed, Marisa said, suddenly she's very sassy, and she was very sassy.
Yeah, she was. She's like, what's the problem? they mentioned in Memory Alpha, and maybe I didn't grasp this in that exchange, but it said that she minimized it to the point of being uncooperative because she thought maybe she might lose her mission.
Oh, well, that is true. She does, I think, mention that because she's very, this is her first deep space mission.
Oh, right.
And Scotty's all like, you probably just have the deep space sickness.
Don't worry about it. It's just space. Don't worry about it. This happens to everybody.
Yeah. He says that lovely kind of supportive, if this happens to everybody. And she's like, oh, did it happen to you? And he was like, no, not me, but,
you know,
other weaker people.
And is this the point where had she had the hallucinations at this point, or is that?
I think that she does. She has them because then after this, they beam down to Memory Alpha. So she
just has like a cut shot of like just dead aliens somewhere.
And you think that's weird.
And she's she's like, ah, yeah, that's weird. Just some dead creatures.
A dead Andorian, I think, and some other people.
Yeah. I was surprised to see the Andorian. I don't think I'd ever seen an episode of the original series but the Andorians.
Yes.
Well, I knew they're there, but I don't think I'd ever seen one.
They're probably the coolest looking original series aliens, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Spock is but he just has pointy ears, so come on. But they have antennas and they're blue.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And they were, I really loved them in Enterprise.
Yes, they are one of the highlights of Enterprise. Mm-hmm. But this one's dead. He doesn't do anything.
He's
or
just
she,
there.
I don't know.
And so it's very confusing. Like, why did we just cut to that and then cut back? Very weird.
And she's freaking out and everybody's like, girl, calm down.
Just chill out. And that's right about when they get the Memory Alpha and they beam down. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of like walk around. Everything's like they're not going to get the lights on. Everything's the main core or something is.
Yeah, this is where we very quickly find out that the power plant is down. Spock like does a 2-second scan and he says, "This is like the worst thing that's ever happened to Starfleet.
All it may be unretrievably lost. All
that's
the
right.
knowledge
gone. The core computer just core gone. Is damaged, and we might as well leave because everything's broken."
And then I think they walk into another room and they see everyone's just dead. And it's the same shot, I think, almost exactly the same shot that we saw like in the hallucination scene.
Yes, and this is when we think, oh, it wasn't a hallucination. It was a vision.
It was a vision of the future. And then someone yells out because there's someone in the hallway who's still alive.
Yes, a lady, another lady.
And she has like a weird green face.
Yeah, so she first tries to speak, and it's all mumbled and garbled. And as they're watching, her face starts going through shifting colors that match colors of the storm.
The sparkle, yeah.
Yeah, the sparkles. And so they're like, what's going on here? And then she dies. And Scotty's the one that points out, oh, this is exactly what happened to Lieutenant Mira.
Yeah, and they're like, beam her down here now. Like she knows what's going on.
That's right. And the odd thing is, she beams down. She's like, oh, this is just like my vision. She's walking around. She's very kind of disoriented. And then she says, we've got to get out of here. And everybody's
like, oh, yeah, she's
like,
very adamant about it. We're like, we got to get out of here. It's coming back. And they're like, no, it left.
Listen, girl, it left.
You don't know. It left.
And she's like, no, listen, seriously.
I know. And then I think it's like Sulu calls in and is like, hey, the storm's coming. And they're like, oh, okay. Let's get out of here.
And so this is the point at which I think you should probably start listening to her.
Yeah.
Because she somehow sensed that the storm was coming. She saw what was happening here before you guys came. So maybe there's a connection to her and the storm. But they don't.
Probably you should listen to what she says.
Exactly. She's been right a lot. But they continue for most of it. They still just don't agree with her.
And so then they kind of beam up, but the storm's like chasing them this time, right? They're like trying to do the offensive maneuvers or whatever to kind of like, and they kind of turn and the little storm falls on the turn and they're like, it's not going to work or we can't do it.
And it takes
impossible.
Them a really long time.
Yeah,
I feel like
quite a few sequences of turns.
They do a lot of turns. And this is what I'm talking about, how they choose to use the Sixth Minister, a lot of turns and many shots of kind of lingering on Spock, flipping switches and moving clearly wooden blocks into different parts. clearly, because we're seeing it in HD, but on a small TV in the 60s, I'm sure it looked much more impressive.
Right.
And then they're like,
we just can't outrun it.
And it takes them so long to figure out maybe it's alive.
Right. And then Spock just kind of like comes out of nowhere with it, right? He's like, oh, that's because it's like a life form, or there's like 10 life forms in there or something like that. And everyone's just kind of like, wait, what?
How do you know that, first of all?
Where did that come from? How'd you do? He never really explains it either. He's just like, they're just there. It's just the life forms.
Computer. The computer told me. It must be true.
And so, Kirk, that kind of like sparks Kirk. He's like, maybe we can talk to him. And hooks up the communicator to the translator, maybe. And they
try and talk to it. And there's also a point at which Mira tells Scotty, hey, I saw, you know, I knew the storm was coming. B, I saw those dead aliens before I went down there. And he basically says, maybe you should keep that to yourself.
Exactly. Don't tell anybody. He can't even. And he said something like, he can't fix that. You know, he can't fix a cold, and he can't fix your crazy hallucination.
Right. Your space hysteria.
Right.
Jeez. And you think Scotty, man, you think Lieutenant Romaine, you could do better than Scotty. Generally, I'm a fan of Scotty, but in this episode, he's kind of a jerk.
See, I kind of thought that maybe she was just kind of like blowing him off until they got to Memory Alpha, and then he would have to leave. And you know, it's like, okay, I'm just going to put up with this guy for the next day or so.
I just have to make it to Memory Alpha.
I just got to make it to Memory Alpha, and then I'm going to be all right.
He's so lonely. He just wants to talk to somebody about that box with the switches he made. So this is where they figure Spock's like, oh, there are living beings in there. Everybody's like, WTF, let's try and talk to them.
Communicator doesn't work. So Kirk's like, maybe they understand a different kind of communication.
Which
phasers.
Is such a perfect Kirk line.
And so they try not to hit him first. They zap kind of like just by him, and they don't really do anything. And then he's like, well, shoot him.
We've done everything we can. Shoot the hell out of them.
And they shoot him, and it looks like it kind of backs off. But then I guess at the same time, mm-hmm. Tenemira looks almost like she got hit by a phaser.
Yes, and this is for, I assume, dramatic purposes, also to alert the people who weren't paying attention that they have a link. Mira and this space cloud are linked somehow.
Exactly, yeah. And so they're somewhere else. They're not on the bridge, right? So Scotty calls to the bridge and is like, stop shooting the alien. It's hurting Mira.
All right, fine.
I guess so.
Sulu really wants to shoot again, by the way. He's like, who cares about that woman?
Right.
And this is where we have the scintillating scene of Captain Kirk and Dr. McCoy going through Mira's medical history in front of her without talking to her.
And she's in kind of like a weird daze. It almost seems like she's kind of like, yes, whatever. And they kind of like, we're going to look through your medical files. Is that all right with you? And she's like, yes. And what they just find out, like, they kind of like just start reading out everything she's,
what about HIPAA people? Come on.
So they do that. And then, they're trying to figure out like if there's some reason she's linked, but they don't find anything, right? There's like nothing.
They just find that her mind has been, what did they just
try? Changed, like
pliant.
The mind.
Her pliant. Mind, she has a pliant mind, which is not something that seems like a good thing. And then they display her mind, like her brain waves, and Spock is like, Dr. McCoy, why are you displaying my sensor readings? And Dr. McCoy's like, I'm not dude, I'm showing her brain waves. And Spock's like, I really think you're showing the sensor logs. And he says, Nurse Chapel ran this every step of the way. It's legit, man. And this is when we find out that the sensor readings and the brain waves are the same.
They're in her brain.
And then Captain Kirk shoots her. No, he doesn't. And they think that, and this is when Kirk is like, okay, hey, maybe there's something to this. Maybe you're not lying, girl.
And this is when he asks her, like, what else she's seen from the future. And she's like, well, nothing much except Scotty dying.
Dun, dun, dun.
And they're like, I'm not going to, he's like, I'm not going to die. What are you talking about?
That's totally bogus.
Yeah. So it was like, at some point, like the aliens like come into the ship after her, right? Or something.
Yes, they do. So they're trying to get away. Sulu's like, oh no, we can't go fast enough. The aliens approach. I think at one point, Captain Kirk kind of tells everybody on the ship in like general alert, don't let the aliens touch you because that'll kill you. It seems like, I'm not sure. And then they show the sequence of the aliens coming in, like they engulf the entire ship. So I'm not sure how you could not be touched by them.
Yeah, everyone starts screaming and yelling, and they kind of inhabit her whole, because they kind of did this before, but I guess maybe now they're doing it for real. They kind of like fully inhabit her brain or something. I don't know what's going on.
And that was unclear. Right before this happens, Captain Kirk somehow has some kind of cockamamie scheme to make her like reject them, and it's going to involve the anti-gravity chamber. It wasn't very clear what his thinking was, but everybody seems to think it's a good idea. So they run off to the anti-gravity chamber. They are waiting.
And they're afraid because they might actually kill her or something, right? Like if they
they don't seem all that afraid.
Yeah. They're just like, stick her in the chamber.
Exactly. And they do. And they turn on the anti-grav. And this is, I guess all the aliens come. they all go into her head because she is the only person that has survived so far their transformation. And this is where they start talking through her, and they basically are like,
"Oh yeah," and everyone's like, "Just let him do it." Like Spock is like, "Yeah, good. Just let him talk to you. Just don't fight it."
Yeah, we want to hear what these people are all about. And it turns out they're the Zaytans from the planet Zaytan, which has been destroyed. Well, the planet itself hasn't been destroyed, but all life on the planet had been destroyed hundreds of years ago.
And somehow they are now non-corporeal manifestations of their will. You know, they just fly through space.
Exactly, because they were somehow preparing an escape plan, and their whatever happened, whatever disaster happened before they could finish, so they somehow elevated themselves into the spiritual realm. It was very unclear. Although the numbers don't add up, because Spock says very definitively there are 10 life forms in that cloud, and then they say that there are 100 of them.
Oh.
So who's lying?
Maybe the other 90 are just somewhere else.
They're just, they split into 10 yeah. groups, and they are terrorizing the universe.
Exactly.
And so they are like, yeah, we want to kill you all, basically.
Well, they were like, we have to, I guess, go into people's brains. I don't know why. They don't really explain why they have to do it, but they're like, we're sorry, but we're going to do it.
That is almost in a literal quote. Sorry, we're going to do it. That they want to take her over and kill everybody else. I thought they said they wanted to kill everybody else, but I don't know if that's true or not. And this is when the solution of, well, let's just throw her into the anti-gravity chamber. But you can't touch her.
Oh, right. Yeah, you can't touch her or they're going to get you too. So I don't know how they get her in there if they can't touch her.
Because Scotty's like, she's not going to hurt me. He touches her. He throws her in there. And he gets thrown across the room, but he survives.
Zapped, yeah.
Everybody
who's
afraid.
It looks like he's dead maybe. Like, yeah.
For like a second. Dead. And then he's not dead. And so they throw her in there. They turn on the anti-grav. It was probably my favorite practical effect of this entire episode. We have the camera through like a little window, and clearly she's like on a platform that you can't see. So they raise up the platform.
Yeah, she's levitating.
She's like,
ooh,
it's crazy. It looks pretty good. But her hair is not moving. So you would think that the hair would move the anti-grav, but it doesn't matter. And this is when they found out, oh no, it's getting stronger because they apparently, the Zaytans are now very relaxed and at home in zero gravity environments. So they're like, this is awesome, thanks.
Yeah, you just messed up.
And that's when Captain Kirk's like, turn the pressure up. Yeah. And I thought, wait a second.
What about this woman?
We're going to crush this poor lady.
He's like, just do it real slowly.
That's right. Well, they turn it up pretty quickly. McCoy is there, so I felt all right about that. And then it works. Everybody leaves. Scotty continues his creepy thing about staring through the window. And Kirk is like, great, she's saved. And then Scotty says, now we have all the time in the world.
Oh, God. It was so it was said so creepily, too. Like, I just can't imagine that it was said like... like so earnestly. But he's just like, now we have all the time in the world. But he doesn't, because she's still ostensibly going to Memory Alpha.
Yes, they don't really address that. And then they have to slowly turn the pressure down. And that's when Spock is like, well, I think Scotty's going to be impatient if we don't do it faster. And I thought, who cares? It's the woman's life is in jeopardy if you just turn it down. She's going to die.
Yeah.
Scotty can pretend he's a peeping Dom and creepily look through that window.
It's kind of like how like a little kid looks through like an oven window when you're cooking chocolate chip cookies or something.
Yes. And he's like, is she done yet? Is she done yet?
So weird.
It's very strange. So often the Zaytans are, I guess they did not really like, or Zentarians? I don't know.
It wasn't really explained like what happened to them after they left. Did they just fly back off into space?
I think they're just
terrorize leaving, more people.
Looking for more people to terrorize and to touch their brains. And Spock is like, this is when McCoy and Spock and Kirk are in sickbay once again, talking
just
about
chatting it up.
Amira without her there.
Yeah.
Talking about how she is, like, Captain Kirk basically says, do you think she's fit for duty? And McCoy is like, well, I think, you know, work actually will be the best medicine for her. And Spock says, I agree. I think that her mind is very pliant and she's probably even stronger than she was before.
Yeah, her ego or something is stronger than it was.
Which is weird.
There was another one in the scene where didn't it call down to Scott and they're like,
yes.
How's her recovery doing?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, beautiful. Like, what?
Which is not even a good right answer to that question.
Yeah.
Yes, it's weird. And I thought to myself, and Marisa just said this out loud, why don't they ask her? They're asking everybody else.
It's not like she's unconscious either. She's awake. She's...
They could be like, how are you feeling? But no, they call down to Scotty and are like, how's Mira feeling? And he's like, yes, she could go back to work. And so Kirk says, goodness, this is like, sometimes the original series likes to end on like
a campy note,
right? And so this is when Kirk is like, this is a momentous occasion in Enterprise history. Spock, McCoy, and Scott all agree on something. And that's something.
And they cut to everyone's face. Like, they're like, Spock?
Yep, you agree. And he makes like the little weird face. And then, and they also talk about, I guess Kirk says this. They spend a lot of time talking about how strong she is. Her mind's pliant. She's stronger than she ever was. So hooray for Mira, right? Agency for her. Her characteristics. She is the reason that she survived this, right? But then Kirk is like, don't you think Scotty's love had a little something to do with it?
Oh, God. And Spock's, you know, he's kind of like, yeah, humans tend to like that emotion a lot. But you know, it probably, and he's like, he's halfway through saying it and McCoy's like, shut up. It did. And that's the end of it. Basically.
I'm a doctor and I say, love, help that woman.
And because, Spock just kind of like raises his eyebrow and.
Cause I almost thought this is actually going to be a good moment. Cause they're basically all they're saying. The reason that she survived is basically because of her strengths. And then they undercut it with, attributing a portion of it, not everything, but a portion of it to Scotty's creepy love, which I thought, no, I reject that.
If anything, it probably made it worse.
I think so. And that's when they're like, okay, set a course for Memory Alpha. We'll drop Mira off and never speak of her again.
Drop her off on the planet of dead people.
That's right.
And we'll radio someone and let them know.
I assume she'll clean it up. The library computer's broken, so I don't know what she's going to be doing down there, but...
Roughing it, I guess.
I guess. And it's unclear. We don't even know what her, like, what she does in general. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she's, like, an engineering person or is she a... Librarian?
She was in the... Well, she was command. Well, was she wearing red?
Or was she was wearing blue. So I guess that's okay. Science, right?
Yeah. Maybe she had some sort of science equipment.
Her occupation, according to Memory Alpha, the website, her occupation is specialist.
Hmm.
So
okay.
She specializes in things. Now, she seems very smart and very eager. So hopefully she's doing fine on Memory Alpha.
And that's her legacy. She got Legacy Malcolm or Memory Alpha back up and running after the dangerous space storm attack.
That's right. And Scotty continues to be a sad old loser who's a lonely. And I think it probably worked out well for Mira because she didn't have to bother with Scotty. And then that's it. The episode's
that's
over.
That's it. Wrapped it up. I don't know, Mike. Maybe I haven't watched enough original series. I'm sure you've watched it. Are there a lot of problematic episodes of this kind of in this vein in the original series?
Well, there are. I don't know if I would say a lot, but it's clearly a show of its time, and this is how I understand that people, people who've grown up watching kind of modern television, go back and look at the original series and think, how could people have ever liked this? Because it is the pacing is very different, which is generally not a problem for me. But then you get things like this episode where kind of the way they treat women is incredibly problematic. But then you get other episodes where, you know, like Kirk and Uhura have the first interracial kiss on TV. Uhura, although not given a whole heck of a lot to do, just the fact that an African-American woman was on the bridge was a huge thing. So it was, for its time, a pretty forward-looking show. But it is, with modern sensibilities... a lot of problematic stuff. Because the women are not treated well. And I forget what episode it is, but there is an episode where basically we find out that in Starfleet, it is against the rules for a woman to be captain.
Whoa.
Women cannot be captain. That. Yep. They changed that. They did the retcon, obviously, for that. But it is just like a casual line, which makes it even worse.
Yeah. Jeez.
Like, you know, women, you can't trust them with starships.
Crazy.
But yeah, I would think so. The third season of the original series.
Yeah. Not so this is the last season of the original series, right?
Yes. And this is, I would say, this episode I mean, I love the original series. Don't get me wrong. This episode is not a good episode of Star Trek.
Yeah, who was it? I read, was it, I don't know, it was someone, a writer that's written for a lot of that Star Wars.
Ronald E. Moore, probably. Right.
Mm-hmm. So that this was like his least favorite episode of the original series.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go that far, but it's not good.
Yeah, it's definitely probably at the bottom 10.
Yes. I mean, it has, as I say, with so many bad Star Trek episodes, I feel like it has a ton of potential because it's an interesting idea. These aliens that are kind of just, you know, trying to find a host and they find this woman. And I feel like they could have done a lot of interesting things with her character. Memory Alpha itself is a very interesting idea. But this episode, not so great.
And I feel like maybe this episode was like maybe started the trope, because I think I feel like I've seen several Star Trek episodes of The Next Generation, or maybe even other ones, Voyager, of kind of a similar idea of kind of like, you know, consciousnesses like roaming space, you know, hopping in people's brains, doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, they go back to that well a lot. I do think that Scotty and Mira's relationship is very, very creepy and problematic. But I do like the fact that it is someone other than Captain Kirk who gets the girl. So that's good. Yeah, I wish it was less creepy. It could have been a kind of a sweet little flirtation thing, but that is not how it played out.
Yeah, maybe, now that I think of it, I wonder if they could have also been playing on, you know, like in The Next Generation when Geordi would be involved in his romantic encounters. He's kind of off and out of step with what's going on. Maybe they were kind of playing a similar sort of thing with like, oh, he's an engineer. He's like he's kind of a nerd. Like, he doesn't really know how to talk to women.
But I feel like that works with Geordi's character because he is always a little awkward when he's not talking about, he's not like Barkley level awkward, but when he's not talking about something technical or he's not hanging out with Data, he's always a little awkward. Scotty, on the other hand, though, is always pretty confident. He's always like ready to just drink a bottle of scotch and tell you a story. I feel like he'd do all right with the ladies, is what I'm saying. So that's why this makes this episode so, well, their relationship in particular, so weird. Because Scotty, he's been in space for a long time, apparently. Yeah. So
space
maybe that's.
Can do pretty much anything. Find out in this episode.
That's right. There are storms out there. It drives you crazy.
Hallucinate. Yeah.
It's no good. So what, did you have any favorite moments from this episode? like when you were looking at Twitter?
I did find the weird camera angle thing from the ceiling weird, but I also kind of liked it. I don't know.
No, I liked it too.
It was interesting. You know, normally with the shows, it's kind of, you get kind of like a formulaic kind of like, oh, we're panning from this side to this side, and it is kind of the same all the time. So it's kind of interesting to see them, like, for whatever reason, try a weird camera shot.
And I was going to say, there we are. It was filmed for a different episode, but they put it into this episode. But that doesn't make it any less any bad. I enjoyed it. I liked the music too. The music was good.
Oh yeah, I did hear I did read about the music, but I couldn't recall the music in my mind. So I don't know if maybe I just wasn't paying close enough attention.
And I do love the fact that obviously this is a 1960s show, in this episode I feel like more than normal we get a lot of close-ups of, you know, quote unquote computers, and I just enjoy the fact that they're all very physical toggles and lights are flashing.
Yeah. Also in sick bay too, I think she walks up to a panel of like health diagnostic data or something about Lieutenant Mira.
And I did like sassy Lieutenant Mira when she was basically like, there's nothing wrong with me. Dr. McCoy, let me get out of here.
There's no problem. Let's get out of here.
I'm fine. I need to get to Memory Alpha. Don't put this on my record.
Yeah. Well, everyone's dead there.
Well, she didn't know that at the time. but overall, I would say if you watch this episode in order to listen to this podcast, thank you and sorry. Because I don't think it's great. I mean, I don't think
You could definitely skip over this one.
Unless you really love the original series, and then I think it's worth a watch. But if you kind of suffer through even mediocre original series episodes, this is not the one for you. Because there are a lot of fantastic original series episodes that I watch. And as I said at the beginning of this episode, I forget that it was made 50 years ago because it's the pacing is maybe still a little slower, but much faster than this episode. And they're just, you know, it seems like they're dealing with things that we're still dealing with, which is a little depressing. but it's just very interesting television. This, not so much. And maybe this could have done with maybe 5 minutes less of close-ups of hands pushing buttons and
zooming into people's eyes for 25 seconds.
Although I did like that because it is, I thought they could have sped it up, but I liked it. It was just once again like the overhead thing. It was a different shot that you don't normally see on Star Trek. So
yeah,
that was kind of fun. But it was very slow zooming. And then there's probably a reason, but it seemed like it zooms in to a certain level, and then they probably had to switch a different camera or something. So it's kind of a little jarring.
Yeah, because it gets blurry for a second. Yeah.
Yeah. or a different lens, maybe. I don't know. People who know things about television production are cringing now. But yeah, overall, not so great. Pretty bad, actually.
I pass. Hard pass.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Clint, for watching it, though.
Yeah, no problem.
And thank you for joining me again on Random
Drive. Yeah. I love it. I listen to it all the time.
Oh, well,
it's one of the only podcasts I listen to, like on planes and stuff.
Oh, well, I'm glad that I could travel with you and keep you company.
So thanks.